and welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's your contingency plan of free speech, because you thought you had the whole internet, you thought you had YouTube, everything. You're talking about whatever you wanted, and the internet was changing everything. Oh, and then guess what happened? It all got taken away, except for RBN. You still have RBN, so go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, send the fundage. And you know how that fundage is needed? It's needed badly, okay? So do that. Today is our Monday show. Last Monday, Mark Collett had a scheduling issue, but he is back this Monday. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, hey, Patrick. It is good to be back. And I think a lot's happened. It's safe to say that a week is a long time in politics, and a lot appears to have happened since I was last with you. So let's get into it.
Yeah, and 2 weeks is even longer in politics. It's been 2 weeks. So it's been 2 weeks. Well, you had the fake election. The new fake election, I mean, there does seem to have been a certain amount of shenanigans that need to be talked about. But despite that, despite whatever fakery there may have been, the Republicans will gain a majority, or have gained a majority, in the House of Representatives. Thus, Nancy Pelosi has to relinquish the gavel from her crooked fingers, and goes on to Kevin McCarthy. Is that a big victory? Well, I don't know, but there will be some Republican committee chairmen, and they will be able to start looking into certain things. And one of the things they've announced they're going to look into is the Hunter Biden, the Biden family and their corruption. So you're going to get some high profile investigations. There will be some things that come out of this that will be fun. Is it going to solve all our problems? Anybody who expects all our problems to be solved by this one event or that one event, I think is in for disappointment. But what do you think, Mark?
I don't know what to think. I usually have hot takes on things like this, but I actually don't know what to think. So I've had a few people on my show who have spoken about this. I've spoken about this with Jason, and I've spoken about this with Eric Stryker, and I tend to get different takes. Now, some people are saying, and it could be a case...
What kind of takes you were getting from those gentlemen?
Well, this is what I was going to say. Before I give the takes, it could be a case that both are right, just in different ways. And that sounds like I'm sort of cucking out, saying, well, both could be right, but they both could. Now, on one hand, one of the takes I've got is that it's a crooked election, that things were not as they seemed, that things were, you know, as I said, a crooked election. We'll just leave it at that, that there was lots of shenanigans going on with the voting. Another thing I hear is that demographics is destiny. You know, there has been changing demographics, rapidly changing demographics, all across the United States, across the Western world. I mean, you can't just say it's the United States. And that does lead to a different set of voting patterns, a different outcome. And I think that is undoubtedly something that has, of course, affected these elections. It would be silly to say that demographics have had no effect on these elections. I also have heard, and this is a point that Eric Stryker put over, that he's looked at the figures, and he says, looking at the figures, fewer and fewer white people are now voting for the Republicans, because the Republicans, and I'm not sure if he's saying they've switched to the Democrats, I think he's just saying that they've switched off from politics. So people who you would naturally say were the Republican base are kind of getting so sick of the Republicans' anti-white political slant that they're saying, you know, hey, that's it. You know, stick a fork in us. We're done. We're just not voting anymore. And that's something. And some people might say, well, Eric's got that wrong there, or there's this other issue. But I will say this. That was the case in the UK. Now, people have got to remember, I spent an awful, awful lot of time actually out working on the streets of Britain, you know, doing electioneering. That was something that was my thing. I spent years doing it. And during my time doing that electioneering, I had hundreds of conversations on the doorstep with normal white folk, with your average white voter. And I will say this, that lots of those conversations weren't conversations where I was convincing people that nationalist politics was right, but they were conversations based around convincing people that it was actually worth voting, that there was actually a point to all of this, that in fact it was worth going out there and putting that little cross in the box, because people were absolutely demoralized with voting for anybody. Now, this is the interesting thing. When you look at elections in the UK, and I'm going to focus on the UK, then I'm going to come back to America. So this isn't, I'm not taking this off topic. This isn't going to be some 20 minute ramble about me knocking on doors. I'm going to bring this back to America. When you went and knocked on doors and you saw the way people were disenfranchised with the political system here in Britain, it was white people who were disenfranchised amongst ethnic minorities who were organized along ethnic grounds. Those people would turn out. Now, there was generally a lower turnout amongst Africa, people of African descent, but amongst Indians, amongst Pakistanis, amongst people who were organized on a racial or religious or ethnic level, we'll say, those people would go out and vote. You didn't have disenfranchisement amongst them, but you did have huge disenfranchisement amongst your average white voter. And those people would just say, look, I agree with everything you say, Mark, but there's no point. There's absolutely no point in this electioneering malarkey, because fundamentally, we've got to a point where things are lost. You know, whoever we vote for, we're going to get the shaft. We're going to get screwed over. And that was something you'd hear all the time. So when Eric Stryker said to me, look, this is the situation here in America, I look at that and I said to myself, well, you've probably got a point. If, you know, we are Anglos, you know, America is, you know, an Anglo nation. Obviously, Britain is an Anglo nation. And amongst our people, we see that sort of disenfranchisement from, you know, the white electorate. And I'm wondering if that's an issue as well. You know, Eric said it was, and I take that on board. I take, you know, he's looking at the, you know, he's not somebody who makes things up. He's looked at the figures and he's saying, hey, we have a problem here in America with your average white voter who would be expected to vote Republican not voting at all. And that is a major problem here in Britain. You know, we face this. I've tried to fight against it, but it's actually a very difficult thing to fight against, because once people have felt that that is it, that, you know, electoral politics is closed off to them, they just retreat into beer and football and anything but solving the issue. And it's a very, very difficult thing to deal with. So I should imagine it could be one of those things, or it could be a combination of all of those things. It could be a combination of electoral fraud. That happens here in the UK, especially in ethnic minority areas. It could be a case of demographic change here in the UK. Look at the old East End of London. It was once completely white. It is now, you know, a place where if you see a white person, it could be a tourist going to look at the old pubs or sightseeing, or, you know, it could be the last white man in the East End. But generally, you don't actually get many white people living in the East End anymore. So demographic change has also happened, and that changes the makeup of politics. But then finally, is it because white people are just like, well, we all voted for Trump, we all went out, we all got G'd up to actually do something, and when we did something, nothing came of it. So you know what? Instead of all this depressing politics malarkey, I'm going back to my world of beer, pizza and NFL, or whatever, you know, sports ball that they watch. And that's it for me now. You know, America's done. Stick a fork in it, it's done. And I'm done too. Is it one of those things? Is it all of those things? Have I got it wrong? You tell me.
No, I think the idea that white people are not voting for the Republican Party, that they're turning around, that they are leaving the Republican Party. Like, I don't like the Republican Party. I've never been a conservative. The Republican Party never appealed to me. A couple of people, Ron Paul, I thought was interesting, and Donald Trump, I thought was interesting, but it's not my natural home. So I'm not just cucking for the Republican Party. But, you know, after 2020, people on TRS were saying that, that Trump lost the election. It wasn't so much widespread, fakery, but it was white people turning away from it. And if that's what they're continuing to say, I think there's, you know, they formed this, and I don't mean to be ragging on them, because I know Eric's really smart, and he came on my show a few times, earlier on. He's smart, and he does research, but I don't see how you can reach that conclusion, and I'll tell you why. If you look at the national elections during the current century, go back as far as 2000, the 2000 election was extremely close. That was the Bush-Gore election. It was extremely close. And, in terms of for president, the popular vote, Bush was behind. Gore won the popular vote. That wasn't particularly controversial. The Republican lost the popular vote. The next election was also very close, although Bush won the popular vote by a narrow margin over Kerry. Well, then you've had, and I'm talking about presidential elections, it's maybe a little different from congressional elections, but then you had Obama clearly won the popular vote over McCain by a pretty substantial margin. He beat by a lesser margin, but still clearly he beat Romney. And then in 2016, if you're going by the official votes, Hillary Clinton beat Trump in the popular vote. So you've had, and then supposedly, like this last election was fake, but whatever you want to say, supposedly Biden got all these votes. But you've only had one national presidential election where the Republicans got a majority of the vote. Now, I've also looked at the midterm elections, but I don't have that data memorized. There have been elections where Republicans got the majority of the vote, but with 99% of the votes counted in this month's election, you look at it, and Republicans have beaten the Democrats by over three percentage points. So you can't really look at this election and say that the Republicans are losing ground compared to the Democrats, because actually they got more votes in a higher percentage of the votes in this election than has been their average over the past since the year 2000. So what Eric was saying was specifically white people turning away. Well, white people are a smaller part of the electorate now than they were 20 years ago. Every year they're becoming a smaller and smaller part of the electorate. And so if they're a smaller part of the electorate and they're turning away from the party, yet the Republicans are not losing ground in terms of their share of the vote, that would have to mean that non-whites are increasingly voting Republican by pretty substantial margins. And what's the evidence of that? There's no evidence of that. So I tell you who does vote. You can look at the votes for Republicans and Democrats in terms of race, and the Republicans are the party of white people, unfortunately, because, you know, not that they do anything to help white people. But another way of looking at it, though, is marriage. If you look at married men, they're overwhelmingly whether they were pro-Trump or pro-Republican? I think it was whether they're pro-Trump. I'm not sure. But the married men were overwhelmingly voted for Trump. The unmarried men still voted for Trump, but not as overwhelmingly. Married women voted for Trump, a substantial majority, but unmarried women voted for Biden by a huge margin. And last thing I'll say is when during this campaign, I went to a Trump rally and I went to an Obama rally. And that's exactly what I saw. This was before I'd heard those numbers, but it's exactly what I saw. I saw the Trump rally had more men and the women were with men. And the Obama rally was way more women. And the women were typically single. So that's what I saw. So I don't think there white people are turning away from the Republican Party. I don't think they're sitting at home. I just don't think that's a good analysis. I'd like to see what kind of data, what kind of evidence that he's basing this on.
Well, that's certainly an interesting take. And as I said, I am, I'm obviously willing to listen and learn from what you're saying. Obviously, I based some of what I was talking about on my observations here in the UK, where there was a large portion of sort of what you would say would be from what were once traditional white working class areas that where the white people now just don't turn out to vote. And here in the UK, we get elections where the turnout can be as little as a third. Now, I'm not sure whether you've reached those kind of lows or what the turnout was at this election. I haven't looked at the figures. But one thing I did gather from this, and again, tell me if I am wrong, but one thing I gathered from this was that the Republicans didn't do as well as they'd hoped. This wasn't sort of the great red wave that Republicans had initially expected or hoped for.
Well, so it wasn't the result that they had hoped for. Now, myself, I had been saying, because we're on RBN, and a lot of people on RBN talk about election shenanigans, election fraud. And most of the hosts on RBN believe that 2020, there was substantial election fraud that was decisive. That, you look at these five or six states, which were controversial, and that there's clear examples of fraud, and that fraud was decisive. And what I've been saying for 2 years, because some people were saying, well, if they could fake that election, they can fake every election from here on out. And I was saying, well, if you look at where the most egregious examples of fraud, and probably the most important examples of fraud were, they were in the big cities. And the big cities, they have, you can fake up enough votes that you can tilt a statewide election one way or another. And the presidential election is a combination of statewide elections. It's effectively done on a state by state basis. And the Senate elections are statewide elections. So that the example of the 2020 election fraud would carry over to the Senate election, and I said that were it not for fraud, you'd probably have and also the thing is, these only one third of the seats are up for re-election at any time, and so there was only a third of the seats, and the third of the seats that were up for election were overwhelmingly, like I think by a 2-to-1 margin, they were already in the hands of Republicans. So Republicans had their hands full trying to maintain what they had, and to pick up a seat or two or three would have to be a good election. And I was saying that, well, the statewide elections are easier to fake, so I wasn't.
past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
And I was saying that, well, the statewide elections are easier to fake. So I wasn't necessarily expect. I said in a fair election, they could probably get wind up with 53. But, you know, the problematic, the tight races are the ones where you had controversial results 2 years ago. And so I couldn't expect a majority. I didn't know what to expect. But what I was saying all along, And I was partially wrong. What I was saying all along was the House of Representatives, these are done on a district by district basis. And so faking results in Michigan or in Milwaukee or Detroit or Philadelphia isn't going to affect the results in the suburbs. There are different electoral districts, and the suburbs, which are where most of the swing districts are going to be harder to fake. And so I was expecting the Republicans to get like 235 or something. It looks like they'll wind up with maybe 221. And so that's more than a dozen, you know, more than a dozen seats that I would have expected to go to the Republicans and didn't. And so so on the one hand, if you were to say that fakery, that fraud was because of this, there was more fraud than I expected. But on the other hand, there wasn't enough fraud to keep the House of Representatives in the hands of the Democrats. So they don't have the ability to fake election and get any result they want, because clearly they didn't want to lose the House of Representatives, and they did. You know, and somebody else might say, well, actually, there just wasn't people didn't vote for the Republicans the way the polls were indicating, or the way, you know, people were thinking. And there might have been, to a certain extent, that. But I think that there, and I don't know. I mean, my gut feeling is that there was a certain amount of fraud. And even if it's not fraud, we do have this very weird system now. Do you know who Ricky Vaughn is? He was a Twitter influencer from a few years ago.
Yeah, I do remember Ricky Vaughn. He turned up. He was very popular. Everyone seemed to love him. And then he disappeared.
Well, he's in prison.
He's in prison? And what for?
He's in prison. So immediately after the Biden took over the White House, one of the very first things that his Justice Department did is go out and arrest Ricky Vaughn. I don't know what his real name is, but they arrested him, and he put him in prison. And I'm pretty sure.
For what for?
For a tweet he did. And this, I think, is really, really interesting and important. He had put out a tweet shortly before the 2016 election, or I think it was before the 2016 election. He put it because he would have been off of Twitter by 2020. But the 2016 election, he had put out this tweet saying, to avoid, it was a joke, but to avoid crowded polls, Republicans will vote on Tuesday and Democrats will vote on Wednesday. Now, of course, the election's Tuesday, and if you show up to vote on Wednesday, the election's over. At least that's what it was in 2016. That was our traditional system, where you had an election day. And he got put in prison for saying that Republicans vote Tuesday and Democrats vote Wednesday. And he's...
Oh, my God. How long did he get for this?
Well, I don't know. I mean, all I know is that still on the Daily Stormer, they have this on every page, at the bottom of every page, they've got this banner saying Free Ricky Vaughn. So I'm pretty sure he's still in. I know. I remember him getting arrested.
God, that is pretty heavy stuff, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but the Biden administration, Merrick Garland, is absolutely vicious. He is one vicious Jew. And you think of all the people who are still in prison for January 6th. I mean, they're absolutely vicious. At any rate, I bring up Ricky Vaughn because the election system we have now, since the COVID, is Republicans vote on Tuesday and Democrats vote every other day, presumably before the election, presumably. So, I mean, you have this weird system now where Republicans, by and large, do show up and vote on election day, and Democrats, they feel it's their patriotic duty not to vote on. I mean, they think they're virtuous by not voting at the poll, but by doing this mail-in balloting. And you've got this, just like you see people walking around, some people are still walking around with masks because it's a virtue signal type of thing. There are people who just feel it's virtuous to vote by mail. And it's overwhelmingly Democrats voting by mail, and it's overwhelmingly Republicans voting in person. And so what one Republican strategist has pointed out is Republicans, given that this is the system now, that mail-in voting is the system now, Republicans are putting themselves at a disadvantage by waiting until election day to come out and vote. Because, you know, potentially, for instance, you get a bad weather that keeps people away. But also what we saw in Arizona, in Maricopa County, which is where like two-thirds of the voters are, is you had widespread voting.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The voters are, is you had widespread voting machine failures on election day, which led to.
And what happens in those cases?
Well, the people were told to come back later, or to go somewhere else to vote, or just you can't put your ballot in the machine. Just put them in a basket over there.
Mm.
And so Arizona is going to be subject to all sorts of litigation, because the thing is that if you have election day problems, it's going to impact Republicans and Democrats differently, and that could be designed. So I don't know. I'm not trying to make a case for how much election fraud there was this time, because I don't know what all the evidence is, but I think there's a certain amount. How much is there? I can't say how much there is. But at any rate, fraud or not, the results are that the House of Representatives is going to be controlled by the Republicans. And whether, you know, even though the Republicans aren't necessarily our friends, there are some interesting people who will be in the Republican Party, but you will have the Republicans, for their own reasons, are going to launch into things like potentially impeachment proceedings against members of the Biden administration and ultimately Biden himself. They don't have the power to make those to turn those impeachment proceedings into driving people out of office, because you need a two-thirds majority vote in the Senate to drive people out of office. But the proceedings themselves can be formats for investigations and for bringing forth a lot of evidence and information to the American people. And so that could be interesting.
I think this is a problem, and I think this is a problem for the right. This is, and we'll say that the Democrats are on the right, and we'll say that the Conservatives are in the UK as well. We'll draw that line across there. It's amazing that when, you know, the, you know, Democrats or, you know, Labour here in the UK adopt these policies of, let's say, you know, postal voting. You call it mail-in ballots. We call it postal voting. They adopt this postal voting. And when they do this, it's almost like the Conservatives don't want to sort of acknowledge or accept that this is a, that this is a viable tactic. And they sit there, you know, with their heads in the air saying, no, 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 we wouldn't lower ourselves to this. We'll do it the correct way. But this sort of hampers them. And really, once it was clear that the Labour Party in the UK was going to aggressively use the postal voting system to ensure that they were always going to be ahead in elections, at that point, there was nothing, absolutely nothing, that anyone could do other than also get on board with that system. At that point, you have to be on board that system too. There is no way on earth can you suggest, or can you, can you, can, there's no way on earth can you credibly do you know, the opposite to it, because it's an arms race. It would be like somebody saying, you know what, we've got these beautiful old wooden galleons, and I know that the enemy army is adopting these giant metal frigates, but we're going to keep these beautiful old wooden galleons because, you know, they're more aesthetically pleasing and our sailors like them. And, you know, they're something that look wonderful when we sail them all at the same time with the flags on top of the masts. They just look incredible. They're beautiful vessels. So we're not going to build these new metal ships. Well, when your fleet gets sunk, you know, within record time, that's on you. And it's on you because you didn't adopt the winning technology. And I think this is a problem that Republicans and Conservatives here in the UK face, where they refuse to move with the times and they refuse to adopt what they often sort of classify as, or they often class as, you know, unsportsmanly like tactics. But really, they're the winning tactics. And as I said, you see this here in the UK. And I think that with Trump making this announcement that he is definitely going for it, I'm sure we're going to talk about that today at some point.
We are now.
You know, if he is to stand a hope, a cat in hell's chance, that's if he even gets onto the ballot paper this time. But if he's to stand a cat in hell's chance, he's going to have to do something very, very differently when it comes to election day. That is indeed if he makes it to election day, because he may well yet be barred from standing in that election, and he may well struggle to get the Republican ticket if DeSantis stands himself. So I'm not really sure what's going on there. But one thing I'm really perplexed about is that Trump speech. So Trump makes this speech that he's standing again, and I'm not really sure he hit any of the right notes. In fact, most people who'd be expecting to be cheering Trump on, they're not. A lot of people felt that speech was very, very disappointing, didn't hit the right notes. And I also think, and I said this the other night on a show with Tim Murdoch, I think Trump's base has actually moved away from him. I think Trump's base, because they've been so largely deplatformed, they've gone to other places. They've gone away from YouTube. They've gone away from Facebook. They've gone away from Twitter. They're on BitChute. They're on Telegram. They're on Gab. And because of this, I actually think a lot of these people who supported Trump are now very, very different people than they were in 2016. I think they've evolved in their politics. I think they think differently. And I think if you sat Trump in a room with some of these people, I think he'd be quite appalled to what they think. You know, he'd be there praising himself, saying, I was one of the people who helped roll out these jabs. I saved millions of lives. And they'd be saying, you mean you helped kill millions of people because the jab's poison. And I do think a lot of these people have started to notice the power of, well, Jewish power. I think a lot of these people have started to notice Jewish power. And that's another thing with Trump, that when you notice the power of those people, you can't support Trump as vehemently as you would have otherwise. So I do think Donald Trump may well have an uphill struggle in multiple ways, not least because his support base has moved in a slightly different direction.
Well, I think he may well have a uphill battle. He's not a lock for either the Republican nomination or for the presidency itself. But it, you know, when we're talking about his base, we have to kind of define what that is. Excuse me. And a lot of people, you know, the people that you would talk to on your show, a lot of them may have been very, very early Trump supporters from 2015, right? The election was 2016, but it was June 2015. He rode down the escalator with his lovely wife and said that Mexico, they're not sending their best. They're sending murderers, they're sending rapists. And presumably some of them are good people. And that fired up a certain group of people. And those were his early base. His early base was people who are alarmed at immigration, people who are alarmed at white replacement. And so the people, but that, when you say base, well, that is actually just a pretty small sliver of the American population. That people who were at that point early on, even thinking about immigration, because immigration really wasn't very big of an issue in America. Nobody was willing to make it a big issue. I think in 2012, in the 2012 Republican debates, Mitt Romney, who's obviously, he's not very anti-immigration if you look at his track record, he brought it up, but it was only in the term of, oh, well, we're not going to have government deportation, but we'll just expect illegal immigrants to deport themselves. He was talking about self-deportation, but that made him more of an immigration hawk than everyone else on stage in 2012. So it wasn't really even an issue. He made it into an issue. But his base over the past, well, during, while he was president, his base just became the typical Republican base to a large extent. And, you know, I did not watch his announcement speech, and I know that Andrew Anglin panned it, and Nick Fuentes panned it. They were all very, very disappointed. But honestly, nobody's really going to remember that speech. His first announcement speech is memorable because he said these things that Mexicans were rapists.
But Patrick, you've just kind of contradicted yourself there. You've just said everyone remembers his 2016 announcement speech, but no one will remember his 2024 announcement speech.
Nobody, yeah.
And but why? Why won't they? They probably will. They'll remember it's bad. You remember the other one was good.
A few people will remember it's bad, but you could see, for the people who were his early supporters, it was a complete dud. But typically, I mean, people don't remember Biden's announcement speech. They don't remember Reagan's announcement speech. People don't remember these things. So to say it was a dud, okay, it was a dud. How much of an impact is it going to have long term? Typically, an announcement speech doesn't have a big impact long term. It's, you know, you try to time an announcement speech so that you can get some attention. But, you know, we're 2 years out from the election, it really isn't going to matter that much. His announcement speech in 2015 is an exception to the rule because Trump has been somebody that people always talked about as he would run for president. Nobody ever thought he'd get very far. It was, you know, it was looked at as kind of like a publicity stunt type of thing. But it really attracted a lot of attention, that speech did. And the speech certainly wasn't like that. he still has the support of traditional Republicans, which in a way is unfortunate. It's unfortunate that that's his base now, because these are people who are going to be basically satisfied with taking an anti-abortion stance and then, you know, keeping taxes low and deficits, you know, deficits low or things like that. Just the typical Republican stance doesn't really address the issues of white replacement. And so if that's who he's trying to appeal to, it's not very exciting to us whether he wins or not, in a way.
I will say this, and this is sort of, it might be seen by some people as a little bit edgy or contradictory of things I've said, but I have actually said this before. I actually believe that if Trump wins, and I said this at the last election, that Trump is, whether people like to believe it or not, the accelerationist candidate. If mm-hmm. Trump goes on and actually wins this election, the amount of trouble that that would cause would be almost unprecedented. I think there would be riots. I think there would be madness on the street. I think mm-hmm. you would have a situation where there was just utter chaos. And I think America would struggle to recover from that chaos. I think it would be that bad. And I think it's very, very interesting to talk in those terms, because a lot of people in the, a lot of people who are on the right or sort of who are nationalists talk about the need for what's called accelerationism. They talk about the need of accelerating problems to a breaking point whilst white people are still within a fundamental majority, so that they could do something about it. Because if things accelerate to breaking point and you're a tiny minority, actually escaping from that milieu is rather difficult. It's something that's actually very, very hard to do. You're not going to fare particularly well as, you know, a racial group trying to escape from, you know, some mad situation if you are a tiny minority. And you see that, a great example of that is South Africa. Now that whites in South Africa are, you know, such a hated minority, they are in the worst position that they have ever, ever been in. And it's often been the case for people who believe in this accelerationism, for them to say things like, you know what, for things to get better, they need to get worse first. For things to get better, they need to get worse first. But I'll tell you something. The prevailing wisdom was always that for things to get worse first, you had to essentially vote for, the leftist party, the leftist option. But I'll tell you this now, that's not the case with Trump. If you want to see America go up in flames, if you want to see BLM show their true colours, if you want to see anti-whiteism pushed to its unfortunate and horrible conclusion, you will see that far more under President Trump than you would under a President Biden. Because one thing's for sure...
Or President DeSantis.
One thing's for sure. Since Biden got in, there has been a massive, massive ramping down of the tensions in America in terms of BLM, etc. And obviously, post-election, you haven't seen, I don't think you've seen, anyway, I've not seen, and tell me if I'm wrong, you've not seen, like, huge riots, you've not seen cities on fire, like you did under Trump with BLM. But I think, had Trump got in for a second term, you would have seen unprecedented social issues on the streets, driven not by social issues in terms of a lack of food or people not being able to get hold of commodities. It would have been driven completely by an anti-white racial agenda and widespread rage over Trump being in power again. And I think mm-hmm. that would be pretty unprecedented. But obviously, yeah. with Trump not getting back into power, I think what you've actually seen is things have probably calm down a little bit, I'd say.
Yeah. I think that's a really interesting and important point. And I've never heard anybody say that Trump is really the accelerationist candidate, but I think you make a really, really good point. Now I say that I'm not an accelerationist. I don't say worse is better. And I usually will make the point that if you look at all the horrible things, all the really horrible things that have happened over the past, you know, 5 or 6 years or just the past 3 years.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Horrible things, all the really horrible things that have happened over the past, you know, 5 or 6 years or just the past 3 years. With the riots, the coronavirus, the massive immigration, fake elections, now this crazy, insane war. And who's talking about Jews? Who's talking about Jewish power? Who is it really waking up? Has it been waking up people at nearly the rate they need to be waking up? No, my answer is no. If that's accelerationism, that's not working.
How long have we got left, Patrick?
We only have about 3 or 4 minutes left. Last thing I'll say is...
Yeah, I was going to make a point, but I don't think I've got time to.
Bumper sticker. If Kanye West, who apparently he didn't exactly announce, but he was asked if he was running in 2024, and he said yes. If he's going to keep talking about the Jews, then I'll move from the Trump train to the Kanye convoy.
I think it's an interesting thing to talk about accelerationism. It's an interesting thing. I also think it's a very dangerous thing to talk about accelerationism, because to think that accelerationism is a kind of an all or nothing prospect, because if accelerationism works, you're going to have certainly a more dangerous path, a more dangerous way out, but there is a way out. But if accelerationism doesn't work, what are you left with then? Well, unfortunately, you're left with literally no way out, because things speed up to such a degree, you are just swamped. And at the end of it, there isn't that nice, comfy, happy ending. So I'm not sure about accelerationism. But one thing I will say is I could still, despite everything that's happened with Trump, I could still hold my nose and vote for him. I couldn't say the same for Biden. I couldn't vote for the Biden administration, because despite the fact that Trump didn't deliver on most of the things that he said, he still made an awful lot of the right noises at the right time. And what I mean by an awful lot of the right noises, Trump would speak out against things like critical race theory. And that, to me, despite it, you know, some people will say, well, oh, Mark, don't be ridiculous. All he was doing was chucking a few bones in your direction. But I still think, from our point of view, those few bones, especially when somebody's talking about something that is explicitly off limits to mainstream Republicans and Democrats alike, I still think it's important. I still think those things carry a certain degree of importance, and we shouldn't overlook them. And I think it's a real mistake for people, you know, in our position to overlook certain things that have been thrown to us by the Trump administration. Trump isn't a great leader. He's not somebody who I think is going to be our Lord and Savior or anything of the sort. But I do think he still has some utility for our side of the debate.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining me, Mark.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. It's always good. And again, sorry to your listeners that I couldn't make it last Monday. As I said, I had an engagement, and we tried to reschedule, but we couldn't. But thank you for having me on today. I have very much enjoyed it, and I look forward to seeing you next week.
Okay, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.